this way. Last week, our readings were pertaining to baptism. We read these readings in regards when we have a scrutiny. So today is the third scrutiny we'll have for our three people, adults, being baptized this Easter. And today's readings show us that baptism actually brings life. It brings spiritual life to the person who receives baptism. That there's a difference between being spiritually dead on one hand and spiritually alive on the other. We can live in the flesh, be in the flesh, or we can be in the spirit. This is what St. Paul is saying in our second reading. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh is that which is in us that's opposed to God, that resistance to God, disobedient to God. You know, it's our fallen nature, our fallen ego that rebels against God. And Paul says, if we're living in that, we cannot please God. We're not pleasing to him. All right, we're displeasing to him. But Paul says, for those, he's speaking to the Christians who are brought into the family of God through baptism, he says, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the spirit, if only the spirit of God dwells in you. He says, if. Because it's possible that the Spirit of God does not dwell in us. One, if we're not baptized. And two, if we're in serious sin. If we're in serious sin, the Spirit of God is not within us. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Paul says the body is dead because of sin. That's just the reality of being human, right? Our physical nature, it's going to die. But even if our bodies are going to die, if we have the Spirit of Christ within us, Paul says, we will live. We are alive because of Christ's righteousness, which is given to us, which is infused into our souls. If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through a spirit dwelling in you. We receive that first in baptism, and we can continue to remain in that spirit of Christ, so much so that if we die at the end of time, we will rise because of the spirit of Christ within us. So on the one hand, we can be in the flesh. We can be in a state of sin, at enmity with God, a state of sin, objectively not pleasing to him, spiritually dead. There's a movie a couple years ago that was called The Sixth Sense. Bruce Willis was in this movie. He was a psychologist, and there was a young boy who could see dead people. It was called The Sixth Sense. And so he would say, I see dead people, right? If we're living in the flesh, people who are living in the flesh do not have the spirit of dead. They are spiritually dead. There's this fascination with zombies these days, right? Like a zombie looking fine on the outside, but inside being spiritually dead. On the other hand, we can live in the spirit, in a state of grace, God's divine life within us. This is what we mean by the theological virtue of charity being in the soul, the Blessed Trinity making up its dwelling in us. When this is the case, we're objectively pleasing to God, delightful to him. We're in a state of friendship, spiritually alive. So this is all that matters ultimately in the end, living in the Spirit, being in a state of grace. If we die in a state of grace, we may need some final purification after we die, but we'll be with God forever in eternity, eternal happiness. On the other hand, if we're in the flesh, in a state of sin, and we die in that state, that's eternity separated from God in hell. On a related note, we must be in a state of grace. We must be in this state of being pleasing to God, being friendship with God, in order to receive Holy Communion. Holy Communion is spiritual nourishment. It's spiritual medicine. Therefore, you have to be spiritually alive for it to work, right? If we're spiritually dead, medicine, nourishment doesn't work for us. Just think of physical food or physical medicine, right? If a person is literally dead, that medicine, that food won't do anything for him. The same for the Eucharist. We must be spiritually alive. We must be in a state of grace for the Eucharist to actually nourish us and heal us. Otherwise, the Eucharist is literally poison. It is poison to someone who is spiritually dead. It harms them. St. Paul talks about this. He says in 1 Corinthians, he says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink the cup. For if anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." Interesting enough, at the time of Paul, there are people who would receive the Eucharist unworthily, and they literally get sick and even die. Now, maybe thankfully that doesn't happen today. People don't get physically sick or physically die. But that is the reality. The Eucharist does not help us if we are spiritually dead, if we are in a state of sin. So here's a very important question. How can we know if we are in the Spirit, if we are alive, if we are in a state of grace? It's confession, confession, confession. The sacrament of confession. We have this promise of Jesus and the church that when we confess our sins to the best of our ability, when we don't intentionally withhold any sins and the priest absolves us, we can know that the Spirit of Christ is within us, that we're in a state of grace, that we are alive, that His Spirit is in me, that it's dwelling within me. Why is this important? Well, Jesus doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to worry about how we are with Him, what our relationship was like, if we're right with Him. I think we know what this is like on a human level, right? It can be disconcerting if we question our relationship with a friend, a boss, a coworker, a sibling, or even a spouse, wondering, you know, if we're right with them, what they think of us. That can be disconcerting when we don't know where we stand. You know, how much more so with God, right? Lord, are we okay? You know, are we good? We right? Like, that can bring us stress and anxiety, and Jesus doesn't want that for us. So He gives us the sacrament of confession. I think it's just a reality when you consider the world and the church today, percentage-wise. There's probably some people here who haven't been into confession in years. How do you know that you're in a state of grace, that the Spirit of Christ is in you? Next week, we have our usual Lenten penance service, Sunday, March 24th. From 4 to 7 p.m., we'll have other priests here, visiting priests, to hear your confession. I always like to say, I only invite the nice priests, okay? Only the nice priests are allowed in this church to hear confessions, all right? I offer confessions before every Mass, but again, I want to make it as available and easy for you as possible. And so next Sunday, as we usually do, we'll have priests here. And you can show up from 4 to 7 p.m. anytime, hop in line, and make your confession. My friends, our basic minimal goal, spiritual goal, should be always to be in a state of grace, to live in the Spirit. If we miss Mass, if we fall into some sexual sin, we should repent and go to confession as soon as possible so we can remain in that state of being in friendship with God. But confession is not just necessary. It's not just there to make sure we can get in a state of grace. But confession is meant to help us remain in a state of grace, to grow in holiness, to become saints. That's why I preach over and over, regular monthly confession. Why is that so important? Because humility is the only way we can grow in holiness. And going to confession, admitting I was wrong, taking responsibility for my actions, going to confession, that helps me grow in humility, right? Because it's not easy. It's kind of embarrassing. It's humiliating. But being humble is how we grow in holiness. Most of you know that my dad was a surgeon, all right? And his specialty was colon and rectal. And so oftentimes he'd deal with people, we might say, having to deal with, as Scripture says, the less presentable parts of the human person. And so he'd have to examine them. And he actually had a number of priests that were his patients. And he was telling me once that he had a priest and he had to examine him. And the priest said to my dad, he says, "Doc, you know, this is kind of embarrassing having to undress this way for you to examine me." And my dad, without pretty quickly, he said, "Embarrassing? I have to bare my whole soul to you guys." Right? That's a good point. It's hard to go to confession. It's hard to admit we are wrong and to bear ourselves in that way. But it's okay. I know it's good for me. I know that it's good for you. We need that humility. So if you want to make sure you're right with God, you're in friendship with Him, that you and Him are good, go to confession. That's what we need. We need confession to be in a state of grace, to know that if we died today, we would be on our way to heaven. Go to confession to get in a state of grace. And if you want to be a great saint, if you want to grow in holiness, if you want to take the spiritual life seriously, examine your conscience daily and go to confession at least monthly. I want to be able to look out there and look at everyone and say, "I don't see any dead people, any zombies out there. I only see alive people. I see people who are in the flesh, or sorry, in the spirit, not in the flesh." Confession, 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 and therefore we can live in the spirit.